Hannah Stanley filling in this afternoon for Frank Fontana. I almost said for David Miranda. He is producing for me today. What a pleasure to be able to get to be with you guys as Frank gets to spend some more time with his family. And I got to do this last Easter, too.
Great.
It's the
time.
Hannah Stanley Easter extravaganza.
Yeah, it's the Easter special.
Yes. And that's and so I think I'm just going to talk to Frank and just like we can pre-schedule the next couple of years.
Well, you know what? It's worth it because you were at an Easter egg hunt this morning.
Oh, my goodness. So I've teased this a little bit on social media, and you can, if you don't yet follow me on social media, I would love it if you would. It would be great. It's a really neat way to get to know you guys a little bit better, and for you to see when I'm going to fill in. But Instagram is that Hannah Stanley, Twitter and Facebook. But then I also have a personal page on Facebook. So I've been posting pictures of this Easter egg hunt that I went to. Rick Geezer. Mm-hmm. Who worked with Zanies, and that's how I've known him for forever, but he also worked here and still continues to. He also hosts a podcast on sports songs, songs that athletes have recorded over the years and about things. And he was on Nick DiGilio's show the other day talking about that.
I don't know how good those can be if they're sports. Maybe after a couple of vodkas,
singing,
a couple beers, then they can sing her.
I don't know. I mean, some of them are likely talented, you would assume.
Oh, really?
I don't know. but so that is how you would know Rick. Rick and his wife and their son, this is their, I think, 16th year of doing an Easter egg hunt. Every year it's bigger. They have all the neighborhood kids, and then they invite other random people. And we did not get a chance to go last year. My daughter was ill. This is our first experience with this. I have started posting pictures, and my favorite is that people are guessing how many eggs there were, and the first person said probably 200.
Times two? Or times what?
20. There were, whoa. This is the total, 3,512 Easter eggs. 3,512 Easter eggs, 45 kits.
Was this at his house, you said?
This is at their house. They live, they're like kind of at the mouth of a cul-de-sac. So it's their, both their side yards and front yard, and then around their back, and then all of the houses in the cul-de-sac, and in like where that little middle portion of their cul-de-sac is, that also.
They have a lot of patience to fill up these eggs, these plastic
every
eggs.
Every single one, 3,512, candy-filled. They have candy or toys because my daughter got like a Hot Wheels car, Matchbox car, whatever those things are called now.
The miniature ones?
Yeah. And different sizes eggs and bins and bins and bins. It takes them 90 minutes to put them all out. They start at 8. By 9:30, the three of them, it's just the three of them, have scattered these eggs everywhere. They were on fences. They were in trees. I asked Kim, who Kim and Rick are Mr. and Mrs. Geezer. I asked her, I said, what is the latest date that you've ever found an egg? And she said, never. They always, the kids, and they range from 2 years old to high school. And they stagger the starts. Because the two-year-olds go and they find an egg and they inspect the egg and they show their parents the egg. And then they look at the egg again and then they shake the egg and then they try, you know, and then they put it in their bag. So it takes the two-year-olds like 20 minutes and they pick up three.
I'm surprised they even have bushes or those little trees in front of their house.
I know. It was actually really, really kind of respectful. Like nobody, there was no trampling. There was like the little kids start. And so they start the two-year-olds, then the 3 and 4 year olds, and then kindergarten. And then they go through the grades. So like third and fourth go. It was incredibly well organized for having 45 kids in a cul-de-sac running amok. It was great. And it took them, and my kids, as I mentioned with Dean, they said, what's our limit? Can we only get 10 eggs? And they just said, no, pick up all of them. That's what they ask. And then you go through and you empty out the candy. You snap them back together and put them in bins. And then poof, they're all done. They're ready for the stuffing next year.
Oh, perfect timing.
I know.
You know, you save a step right there. You're everything Easter today because I'm looking at that Hannah Stanley on Instagram, and
yeah.
You have a winner of this year's coolest egg.
Yeah, that was the egg that my kids and I did eggs yesterday. We did 2 dozen eggs.
Was that glitter that you have on it?
It is. And there's a Paws glitter kit. So if you see it for sale, because this is what I do. I always buy my egg kits tomorrow. for next year. So so this glitter kit, it comes with these little bags, and you put like a drop or two of glue, and you can put a pre-dyed egg in there. Once it's dried, and you kind of smush around. This is the smushing around sound.
The sound
of
effect.
Yeah. You put the glue in, and then you drop the egg in and smush the glue all over the egg. And then in the same bag, you drop in a little pouch of glitter and then just kind of shake and bake it. You know, like it's shake and bake, and I helped. You don't remember that commercial.
Great thing to do with the kids then, because kids nowadays want electronics and they want all these things.
Yes.
Look at, talk about enhancing creativity here.
Oh, this was, I was thinking to myself, I really should buy eggs throughout the year because this was really fun. It was an hour or 2 hours. I think if we had had more eggs, they would have kept going because they really, really, really liked it. And I didn't, I mean, it's egg dye. It's not like it's expensive or it's just, it's fine. And then you get hard boiled eggs. You can do other stuff with it.
Do you guys eat them?
I do. I didn't used to. This is a new thing for me that I eat hard boiled eggs. I love them.
Oh, yeah. I like them with salsa.
Do you? How do you get
salsa.
That to?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, or Valentina sauce or something like that, but I prefer the salsa. I think we're hungry.
We are hungry for sure. Definitely hungry. Coming up, boy, do we have a great show. And again, thank you to Rick and Kim and Ricky Geezer who invited us out to their house for the Easter egg hunt. 3,512 Easter eggs. 3,512. It's begun. The dancing has begun. I was on last week, Hannah Stanley here, filling in for Frank Fontana, and there was dancing. And then I confirmed. Yes, I confirmed that Frank does that too. I like to emulate as much of Frank's presence when Frank is not here.
Yeah, just in case you're watching online at WGNradio.com/watch. They can check out your moves. Steal a couple moves.
I have to download this song.
Maybe Brian can bust a few moves.
He's dancing.
No, I'm a.
He's doing a chair bop.
I'm an East Coast wasp. We don't dance. We absolutely do not. There's a gene that prohibits it.
I saw a bop. I did. Brian Judge, interior designer.
Yes.
To the stars.
Here, sure, why
here
not?
In studio with me. We don't know. They could be famous next tomorrow. We don't know.
That's true.
The way people become famous nowadays, you don't know.
I haven't seen a sex tape, so I don't know. Isn't that the only way people become famous these days?
Oh, that's one of them. you are, I loved things as I was reading your bio, and you've been here before, so
yes.
People will remember you.
God, I hope so.
I would think things that I picked out specifically in your bio, classical approach.
Yes.
I love the word sumptuous. Sumptuous yet highly livable interiors,
yes.
Because that is always the trade-off.
Yes.
Some people
yeah.
want it to look like a museum.
And it feels like it.
But
often.
Then it feels like yeah. it, and you can't sit down because God forbid you put a crease in that pillow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I love that you said trends are measured in weeks, style in decades.
Yes.
Because we're going to talk about both. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about style and
right.
we do want to talk about trends. So what are some of the things, because you, lean more towards a traditional aesthetic.
Yes. You can say that. Heavily
you,
lean.
As you are wearing the most dapper outfit I have ever seen in my life. But where are people missing kind of the boat on when they're trying to come up with traditional? Traditional can go old quickly.
It can. You know, it's a really hard question to answer, to be honest. A lot of times people, when they think traditional, what a lot of people do, and I deal with this all the time, is people go toward Victorian design,
mm-hmm.
which is not good in a number of ways.
Right.
Victorian design is that design where it does start looking matronly, dowdy, grandmotherly, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the direction most people go when they try to do traditional on their own. I mean, not all the time, but that's the one real venue of design that people, you know, that Victorian is that, oh, it's Victorian, it's traditional. It is, but it's old.
It's Victorian.
It's old, yeah. Yes. It looks dated. Like, we're like, actual true traditional design is classic. It never looks bad. It always looked good. You know, you can look at something that was designed, you know, in the late 1700s, 1800s, you know, up until today, and it still looks kind of classic, you know, for the most part, for traditional design. It's just those weird little, you know, niche, like the Victorian Elizabethan design, you know, the Baroque, some of that kind of stuff. It tends to be a little heavy and harsh.
Okay, so when we're picking out patterns and mm-hmm. fabrics,
yes.
Because that's where a lot of this can go, you know, like a lot
it
of
can.
Birds that can, to me, screams matronly.
It can, yes.
But yeah. you can do nuances and a birdcage over here and a such and such. But birdcages are very Victorian.
Birds are actually a really great design element. I use them a lot. A lot of times when I'm doing traditional, I also do chinoiserie, which is, you know, the English take on Chinese design. And there's a lot of birds in there. A lot of like great wallpapers that have like very subtle birds in them, you know, to put up on the walls. That's really where you want to keep that sort of thing. I mean, birds are a great asset. I love birds. I'm a birder, so I anything mm-hmm. bird. But yeah, it can go, you know, like the little like chickadee print on the pillows, that kind of thing. It's
yes.
it's kind of kitschy and kind of, oh, my grandmother had that same thing, you know, when I was a kid. That's always in that grandma realm. It's right. always in that, you know, they think it's traditional, but it's just not.
Style of furniture too. I mean, can we use pretty much anything as long as it's done in the right way? Like wingback chairs and
oh, I love wingback chairs. I use wingbacks all the time. And a great leather, especially a great like camel leather, you know, saddle leather kind of thing. I do that constantly. There's not again the only furniture style. I mean, it has to suit your space, obviously. Mm-hmm. You don't want to put a completely modern type of sofa in a really traditional space. I mean, it can be done, but it becomes a lot trickier. You know, it becomes exponentially more difficult to make the design work.
Because then it just looks like somebody gave you things.
Kind of, yeah. And a lot of people think, oh, it's just putting things together. It's eclectic. You know, eclectic is not easy. People seem to think eclectic means, oh, it's easy. We just threw it all together like a hodgepodge. You know, it's not a stew. You can't just throw it together and it works.
Right.
It's a lot of time and effort to really make everything balance out perfectly. It really is more complicated than it looks.
Thank you to Frank for having me this week again. And David is joining me, producer extraordinaire. Amy Guth always refers to her producers as esteemed producers. And I like that enough that I want to use it, but it's Amy Guth's line. So as like someone who, I don't want to steal people's lines.
You could try renowned.
Nice. Done.
I'm going to want that on a business card, by the way.
Renowned producer. See?
I think it works.
When Brian gets off the air, I'm going to have him go through my comedy set and rewrite and punch it up. Joining me in studio is Brian Judge, interior designer. Can I say that a little bit more Chicago? Interior. He makes the designs look pretty on the inside. That's what he does.
You're kind of getting into Boston a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
not like New York.
East. I keep going east.
Boston, they actually call you interior designers. They skip it. He's interior designer. He's interior designer.
Really?
Yeah, they just.
They're too busy.
Yeah,
they don't need all three syllables.
They're in a hurry.
Four. They need three. Okay. I seriously had to just use my fingers. Like my kids, I counted out syllables. I want to make sure that I talk about this again. For those who missed this, we are running a contest. People send us pictures, 312-981-7200. You can text us. And don't cheat. Don't send me something from Pinterest because I will figure it out. But send us things that you've repurposed, recycled, upcycled. And we're going to talk about this in the next segment. Flowers are like the thing right now to like add flowers to old bikes and wagons and stuff. So we want to know things that either you've used flowers for or things that you've repurposed in your life to add decor, decoration, purpose, etc. Brian.
Yes.
Three best things to spend money on for your home. Aside from a new roof.
Aside from a new roof.
That is very vital.
That is.
Yes.
Well, really, there's kind of two levels to that. I'm going to cover the level of just like things in your home.
Okay.
The three, starting with the best, is a sofa. You want to spend money on a good sofa. I've had so many clients that we've talked about sofas, like, oh, I saw this at Crate and Barrel. I saw this at, God forbid, IKEA. I know. I use that word like it literally is a four-letter word.
I like IKEA for what I like it for.
Do you?
I do, but I don't have furniture. I don't have like full-on furniture.
That's good. Yeah. You're off to a good start.
Okay.
But I tell people to avoid that stuff. I mean, even if, you know, the nicer stuff is a little bit out of your price range currently, save up a little bit because it's something that you spend so much of your time on. It takes such a beating. And when you're going to, you know, Pottery Barn, Crate and Barrel, or again, God forbid, IKEA, you're basically buying things that are made to break down quicker. It's part of this what I like to call a microwave society, where stuff is made quickly, it's used quickly, and then it's thrown away just as quickly. So avoid that kind of thing. Buy something better. You know, go through a designer to buy something through the Mart or someplace a little bit better. You're going to spend more money, granted, but it'll last you a lot longer. I mean, something you buy at Pottery Barn or Crate and Barrel, you're looking at a few years at best. You go through something a little bit better, you're probably looking at a lifetime of use. You know, mm-hmm. every few years you might get it reupholstered if you want to update your look or something. But it's a piece of furniture that you can hand down to your kids and possibly their kids, you know, if you get something that's made good enough. Because a lot of the stuff that's made, you know, through these other places, they're just kind of screwed together wood. And, you know, the seating is often just kind of bad padding. You know, you want good hard dried, you know, kiln dried hard woods, which is a very European way. All the best places do it. You know, you have eight-way high-end tied springs, double glued, screwed, and dowel, which is the way the pieces are all put together. You know, if it's not that, it's
all
not worth
getting. All
of these
are awesome band names, by the way. David, write these down. Okay.
They probably could be, actually. But yeah, you know, just spend the money, get quality, save up and get something good. Otherwise, you're just spending, you know, $1,000 or $2 every few years on another piece. It's just going to break down every few years. But if you wait and buy something that's like $7,000 or $8,000, I mean, because there are sofas out there that are way more than that. But I mean, if you spend like the $7,000 to $8,000 range, you're going to have a piece that's going to last you a good long time, probably the rest of your life.
All right. As far as styling goes for the sofa, because you do want, when you're making an investment,
right,
to, you don't, I keep joking about the orange sofa, but right, you don't want it to be a style that you're going to hate.
Right.
Or that's going to go out of style and be very dated.
Right.
In a decade.
My approach is for the sofas is to do something relatively neutral. If you want to update the look of the sofa, then you spend money on throw pillows. You know, you can do the fabrics. You know, you can change the colors or the patterns, make it look this way, make it look that way with the throw pillows. But as long as you have a relatively neutral fabric on the sofa, it'll go with pretty much everything. Okay. It'll never not look good. You just change out the pillows every once in a while, and you've got a whole new thing.
All right. Next on our list.
Next on my list is flooring, which is basically rugs, area rugs for the most part.
Okay.
That's a big thing. It's, you know, it's something that some people think, oh, it's not that important, but people notice it. They really, really do. So get something good. You know, go someplace again. You want to avoid your, you know, the three places that I've named almost ad nauseum now. I apologize.
That's all right.
But avoid those kind of places when possible. And if you absolutely can't, just, you know, find the best you can there. But try to go for something a little bit nicer. You know, a good Persian rug, which I've put hundreds and hundreds in people's homes. They look good with just about everything. Even in a modern setting, something like that can look really good. And you can find them in a lot of range of styles and colors, and, you know, from different parts of the Middle East. You know, each region of the Middle East has their own kind of design. Some of them are very muted. Some of them are very colorful and have like kind of fun shapes in them. So you can find something to go with just about anything in your home. But it is a big thing that people see when they walk into your house. So yeah, again, just, you know, get something a little bit better, you know, get something that fills the room too. You don't want to get something that's like half the size of your room. You want to get something at least in the 3/4 size of your room.
Okay.
Leave, you know, space around it, you know, a bit. I mean, I usually go about a foot or so off, depending. But I would say, like, as long as you're in that 3/4 of the size of your room as the size of your area rug, you're pretty good. It's a good balance, usually.
All right. So we're making these huge investments in rugs because they are not...
They're not cheap.
They're not.
No, they're really not. But again, if you buy a good one, it'll last forever. I mean, I've put things that are hundreds of years old in people's homes.
Okay.
You know, they'll last forever and ever.
Is there an aftermarket for Persian rugs?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay. Because yeah, this is where I'm like, if I hate this, what do I do
with
it?
No, there is definitely an aftermarket. If you buy something that's decent... you can find places like antiques houses, you know, that kind of thing, auction houses that, you know, for a good rug, and the market is really good for antique rugs, Persian rugs, yeah. That's one of the things that the market is usually pretty good. I mean, like anything else, it has its ebbs and flows. But the market for that is usually pretty good. So, yeah, it's not, I mean, you can always find somebody to buy. You know, a lot of times designers are, like myself, I'm clamoring to find people that, you know, they bought something, they didn't quite like it, and they're selling it. You know, and sometimes you can get, you know, you might not get full value out of it all the time, but you'll get a chunk of what you spent on it.
All right, Brian Judge is the name who's clamoring for your Persian rug if you are looking to unload it.
If you know somebody, please, for the love of God, give me a call. I always need more.
All right. So that flooring. So if one of our texters to 312-981-7200 asked, referring back to sofas, Davenports, if you will.
Yeah, sure. I love that term. That's a great old term. I love that.
What are some of the names we want to look for when we see quality, so we know quality?
There's like one of the ones that I love the most, and you can only get it through, actually, I'm not sure about if that's true or not. You might be able to get it retail now, but a company called George Smith. That they're out of England. They've been around for a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
They are, in my opinion, they are the benchmark of quality.
Okay.
For sofas.
But maybe need to go through a designer with the.
Usually, yeah. Like I said, you might be able to get them now retail. I don't really deal with that aspect of things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a designer, I go for the designer pricing.
Sure.
But yeah, George Smith is one of the top ones. You know, I'm drawing an absolute blank on other names.
All right. We'll come back to that if you come up with one of them pops into your brain. What is the third thing we want to make sure we invest in?
Art. What goes on your walls.
Oh.
That is one of the biggest problems that I see, especially in Chicago. Art is an issue in Chicago area, both in quality and where it's hung. It's always hung too high. Everybody in Chicago hangs their art like above eye level, and it
just in case Michael Jordan stops by.
Exactly. Yes. Like, we're not all 6'4". I'm sorry to say everybody in Chicago is not 6'4". So if you think you are, please get a tape measure. You are not. I promise you.
Well, what is the rule of thumb now that you mention that? And we can revisit investment portion.
Rule of thumb is hang the middle of the picture at about 57 to 60 inches. That's really where you want it. 57 to 60.
That's a very good tip.
Yeah, it's considered gallery height, because you know, if you go into an art gallery, the art is usually hung, in a lot of cases, a little bit lower. So your eye is looking, you know, either right at the middle or a little bit toward the top of the piece. That's the best way. You don't want to be looking up at art. You want to be looking down, because people naturally look down. The ergonomics is people look dead ahead or down a little bit.
Okay, so I'm 5'7", so it's going to be just a little bit below my eye level.
Depending, like I said, you hang it at 57 inches to 60. Okay. So it kind of...
Depending on the size of the
art. Yeah, the bigger the piece of art, the higher you want it. And also, like, you know, if both people in the family, if you're both little people, you might want to hang it a little lower.
Okay.
Just make it comfortable for you. If you are 6'4", you know, both people are 6'4", hang it a little higher. I mean, like I said, 57 to 60 is a rule of thumb, but it also needs to be comfortable for you, you know, for the individual looking at it.
All right. Getting back to art and what we should ideally invest in. Clearly, we don't all have Van Goghs.
Clearly. I mean, I don't either. I have a couple of prints of Van Goghs, but...
Prints are something that you are...
Prints. I'm totally for prints. I mean, you can find some really, really good prints out there.
Because I have some George O'Keefe prints that I absolutely adore.
Sure. I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's a lot of it is personal preference, obviously. I'm not going to tell you, you know, everybody needs to go out and get what I've dictated.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be. I don't even get me started. All day I would just talk about telling people what to do.
I really would.
But no, it's prints. You can find really, really good prints that will cost you a little bit. I mean, it's not, you know, hundreds of dollars. But, you know, you might spend $100 to $200 maybe on a really good print, but it's a really good print. So, you know, get it framed nicely, spend a couple hundred dollars on a frame. And
the
you have
framing
a nice
is where
framing is where a lot of money.
That's
can come
the money
in.
Goes.
It really can be. I mean, you can find, you know, you can find decent frame, like pre-made frames out there. There are some good ones, and not a lot, but there are some that are decent enough, like black, you know, just basic black, you know, museum type frames.
Mm-hmm.
You can find those just about anywhere, and they look good on just about any piece of art, really. And they fit almost any situation. But yeah, you can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on framing easily. To give an example, I bought a piece myself of art a while back, a print, a limited edition print. And the framing alone, I mean, the piece is 6 foot by 4 foot. And the framing alone was $800 per foot.
Per foot?
Per foot, yeah.
It's
a large
goodness.
Frame. It's a gilt, you know, frame. So, I mean, you can spend, I mean, I've seen them, you know, a couple thousand dollars a foot. It's not hard to do. But, I mean, you can spend a lot less than that, so don't panic by any means. You know, you can find some that are like, you know, $10, $15, $20 a foot. You know, it's not going to be like the best looking thing in the world, but it's still decent. So there's all kinds of ranges, but art really is a big place to spend money to have a really good effect in your home.
All right. So to review, the three things that Brian Judge, interior designer, recommends you spend money on for your home, make those your investment pieces, are sofas, flooring, such as rugs, and art.
Yes.
Now, the Joanna Gaines of the world. God bless her.
God bless her indeed.
Making the fixer-uppers, mm-hmm. not just the houses.
Right.
People are, and Pinterest, this is, you know, people have been crafty for a long time.
Oh, yes.
But now there is a big movement to find found items, which is what that's called.
Right.
So, and reimagining them into either better than they were before
mm-hmm.
or different than they were before,
right.
where we're taking a lamp and making it something else, or we're taking something and making it a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lobster pot made into a light fixture on
I've seen those, yeah.
Flea Market Flip. So, and we are running a contest for Black Hawks t-shirts. David and I are going to make a choice later. You can text in the pictures of your projects at 312-981-7200. Flowers, though, are the thing in spring. And you and I started talking about this earlier, and I was like, stop. We have to save this for the show.
Indeed.
Tell me about the difference in decor when you use silk flowers versus regular flowers.
If you use silk flowers, you're a horrible person. Let's just cut to the quick.
okay.
That's really all I have to say on
that. That's Brian's opinion. That is Brian's
That is my opinion.
Opinion.
Yes, that is true. That is my opinion. I'm an incredibly opinionated individual, but I am thoroughly against fake flowers.
But you have good reason because, and I said this too, they get very, very dusty very, very quickly.
They do. They get nasty quickly. After a while, like in a humid space or whatever, they also start getting this weird film on them that mixes with the dust and everything.
And you can't just dust that off.
You can't just dust it off. It has to be wiped off. And it's, you know, sometimes those flowers are not built to be, you know, roughed up a little bit. And then they make the flowers kind of wilt. They look like they're wilting.
Because there's weight.
Because there's weight on the petals. Yeah, so it's like, you know, you paid all this money. And they can be very pricey. I've seen some fake flowers that are really, really pricey. But they all suffer from the same problem. And then you have this wilty looking expensive thing, you know, that's dirty in your home.
Now with real flowers, live flowers, cut flowers.
Yes.
When I have allergies, my family has allergies,
okay.
so I do try to avoid them.
Yeah.
And I'm not super good at spending a ton of money
mm-hmm.
on something that's going to die.
Right.
So when I do want flowers, then I go and I get tulips from like Trader Joe's.
Which are also wonderful.
By the way, Trader Joe's has great flowers.
Mm-hmm.
They last
forever. Oh, yeah, And tulips are a great flower for spring especially.
And they're a little bit easier.
They are incredibly easy.
Because they're made, like their whole purpose in life is to look kind of like windblown and like wistful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because when I bring other flowers home, I don't design them well.
It's tricky. It really, really is. One of the things that I tell a lot of people that have that same problem, and most people do, I mean, it's not, you know, flower arranging isn't something we're taught for the most part.
No, I think it looks good, and I take a picture, and then I'm like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's hard to do. I mean, it's a science. It really is. One of the things that I have a lot of people do, and it's my favorite flowers, I decorate with hydrangeas all the time. Absolute favorite flower. East Coast guy, you know, they're all over the place. You can't go wrong. You just get a bunch of them, tie them together, put them in a pot. It's going to look good.
I mean,
it really is just, you know, just tie them together so they just create like a big ball, basically, and you're good to go.
And you can get them in the pinks, the blues, the whites.
Basically, yeah. You can
greens.
Get them in, green.
Purple.
Purple's a little bit harder to come by.
Yeah.
It's a more of a specified color. You know, they're only grown in a few areas, but purples can be really pretty. The greens and whites are my favorite. I love those. And sometimes the blues. But yeah, it's not an easy, they don't stay forever. And there can be a process. You know, you need to cut them at a 45-degree angle. And if you're cutting them fresh, you need to cut them early in the morning, like right as the sun is coming up, and put them directly into water. And then
on a Monday when the moon is full.
It's almost that kind of specific. But I mean, if you're just looking for something for a few days, you know, like if you have guests or you're having a special event or something, you know, just get them any place. You know, a lot of places carry them anymore. And they're a relatively easy flower. They don't last very long, but like I said, for just a few days, if you're not going to really take care of them, it's a perfect flower.
All right. You are a traditional designer.
Yes.
We are talking about traditional uses for flowers.
Yes.
As we wrap up, people have been using flowers, and we have an article that was talking about utilizing flowers on a variety of different things. I'm guessing these aren't real, but they could be potted flowers. People are taking old bikes and putting lovely bouquets within the basket and then hanging them on their walls.
Yes.
This is not traditional design.
I barely call it design. to be completely honest.
Okay.
It's
kitschy.
It's kitschy. That's exactly the word I was going for. Yeah, it's very kitschy design. It's just kind of a, you know, it's a whim design kind of thing. People think it looks good now because they see it saturated on Pinterest or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week, whenever the next big thing kind of rolls in, it's like the tide. It's there and it's gone. It's there and it's gone. It's always something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are the kind of things, they don't last. It looks good for like a minute and a half, and then it's done.
All right. However, whimsy can be its own design style.
Oh, no, very
so
true.
So if you want to keep the whimsy going. Now, if someone is going to do this, and gosh darn it, the picture that I'm looking at is delightfully and cute. And if you lived in Key West, yeah, I would suggest you try this.
I would say it also would work well for like an East Coast, Cape Cod,
sure.
Nantucket,
beachy.
Kind of a thing, very beachy kind of thing. That it could work with that.
How long is something like this where you go, yeah, that's super cute for now. Mm-hmm. How long is for now?
It's a trend, so it's usually
like a season?
At best. Usually trends are about 5 to 6 weeks, roughly. Some of them can kind of, you know, grip for dear life a little bit longer.
I can take a nap longer than that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay.
But yeah, it's a trend, and it's, you know, I tend not to deal with trends because they're so transient, and they just, you know, it's just, let's spend money now and
they're
then
trendy.
Spend money. Yeah, and then spend money in a month on something brand new that's, you know, just as trendy.
That's trendy.
You, yeah, it's, ugh.
If that is your style, people, keep it going. But keep in mind, 6 to 8 weeks, then we got to find the new one.
Yeah.
Brian Judge, interior designer, where can people get a hold of you?
At my website, www.brjudge.com. is the main place. Thank you.
Judge.
I have a jingle. I'm not paying you. I'm just no. I'm recording it and keeping it.
You
but I'm
should
not
I don't
you.
Blame you. You shouldn't record it either. It's terrible.
I also have an Instagram account because, you know, who doesn't?
Right.
You can't not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's at BR Judge.
Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. Thanks, Frank, for the shout out on Instagram. You just mentioned me. Appreciate it. I'm happy at any point when you need me to fill in. I love your guests and I love talking to your listeners. So enjoy your day with family, my friend, and you come back next week. In the meantime, renowned producer David Miranda and I.
I kind of like that title now.
I do
I'm
too.
Telling you, I'm going to request a business card with that now.
I'm texting Frank to make sure that he knows that is what he must refer to you as. Renowned producer David and I came up with a contest because we wanted to make sure we gave away these limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirts. It is the Blackhawks playoffs. Their phrase is one goal. That's what we want to score. We want to score one goal. They're going to pull it out.
Hopefully, yes.
They're going to pull it out.
You know these pictures that we've been getting, Hannah?
So beautiful.
Yes.
So beautiful. There is 847 just texted in, and here's the number, and then I'll tell you what we're going to have you do. 312-981-7200. We are having people send in their projects, and some of them repurposed, recycled, upcycled, etc.
Reused.
Yes. Things that you found a dresser at your mom's house and thought that would look great painted. Still a dresser. Great purpose. Some are amazing. 847 just texted in antique original blue painted doors. They attached together. They were smaller doors. Put them on a plywood base and added galvanized steel threaded pipes and made this really antique-y industrial table. So cool. It is beautiful.
Yes, I would buy something like this.
So send us pictures of your projects, and then David and I are going to pick a few of our favorites, and we are going to contact you guys to let you know that you've won a limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirt. And that's going on probably for the next 20 minutes or so. We're going to need a little bit of time to scroll through all of these pictures. Again, I'm Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana. Joining me right now, boy, am I excited to talk about this event. Larry Marcus, president of Paragon Sight and Sound. Larry, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, the thing that's happening, I love the city for so many reasons. I love trade shows. Brian, my last guest, hated trade shows. That was like, he was like, you can't pay me. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll go. It is like me equals kid at a candy store at a trade show. This is a new one I haven't been to. It is the Expona Audio Expo North America happening here in Rosemont next weekend. Tell me what goes on there.
Well, it's at the Westin O'Hare on North River Road. There's 400 exhibits showing fine audio, headphones, personal music devices, and really bringing music to a large amount of people. They expect to have 5,000 attendees over the 3 days, and at general admission passes for 1 day or all days are available right at the hotel lobby.
All right, and this is open to the public?
It is.
Excellent. Because a lot of these shows aren't. They're industry only.
Correct.
And so I get to go to them and then bring everything, bring that information to the listeners. This is something they can go to themselves. But you are going there as an exhibitor. And you have brought, I'm going to take pictures and put those up on Instagram as well. People, I did not know that you could get stereo systems and speakers and things in a variety of color to match your decor. I thought it just came in like charcoal or black. Those are my options.
Well, things have changed a lot.
Yes.
No, I think one of the goals of the show is to bring audio to the public rather than just the trade. I think that the more people see and hear what we do, the more interest there is. Obviously, music is everywhere today. And people are accessing it. So it's just a question of, do they want that in their home? And I think the show gives people an opportunity to experience it for a day pass and hearing many of the top brands, or in fact, most of the top brands. In regard to the color samples,
yes.
Our store, Paragon Sight and Sound, which is actually located in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is a Wilson Audio dealer for speakers, U.S. made out of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, though a subjective climate in our industry, but feel that they're the finest speakers made. They are available in virtually any Wilson Art color available in a sort of automotive base finish.
Okay, so there is a metallic-y look to it.
There could be flat.
Okay.
Metallic.
Okay.
You know, you can put extra flat.
Much like the flat Lambo, which I just learned about.
Exactly.
Yes.
Supposedly goes faster.
I have no idea. I wouldn't know the difference. But a flat Lambo is a flat paint based Lamborghini.
Correct.
I don't know. It was something I heard when I was in LA, and I was like, sure, I totally know what you're talking about, and then I Googled it.
People sometimes use flat in a theater setting as not to pick up reflections, but many times out in a living room, they would elect to have a beautiful color that matches the
lustrous
decor. Correct.
Lustrous. Okay, so you said at Expona, which is coming up this coming weekend, they're starting around even headphones, and that, like, literally perked my ears up, because this is what we do. We have headphones, like in radio. This is people. I mean, we walk around here going, those are the coolest headphones. Mm-hmm. Those are the, can I try those on? Those are really, really cool. What is the range in headphones? Because the name that you hear from everybody right now is Beats.
Mm-hmm.
There's like maybe a couple, two, three pair of Beats around here. Everybody's got their own pair. So who are we looking for as far as an everyday consumer having headphones? Where, what are we looking for as far as quality and sound?
Oh, I think sound quality is sound quality, either in a headphone or not. I think a lot, as they are carrying your personal music, have to do with your personal comfort. You an over-ear?
I'm an around-ear person.
Right.
Yep.
So I think that's the first thing to choose. What is comfortable? Many headphones tie into your cell phone, have the microphone. You're able to use it in both capacities.
Okay.
So, but there are great brands, including Bowers and Wilkins and Prima, which we did last year on Frank's show at this time of year, by Sonus Faber, Edemonic, and many, many others that are custom fittable and...
I might need to be coming to the show. It's one of those things that you can't, it's challenging, because if you go to a big box store, you're only going to get 2-3 brands to try on. And I really, like, Amazon doesn't help me. So this is the kind of place I would want to go.
Yeah, I mean, we're a big believer in the brick and mortar retail setting. We still think service is service, and you know, actually discussing and experiencing your products helps make an informed decision.
Well, and working in this industry, you know, I'm on the air for 2 hours. For the most part, my headphones are on. A lot of our more technical producers, you know, David will have them on during the show. He has them on before the show. He has them on after the show when he's producing. So he, I mean, David, you can have your headphones on 4 to 6 hours in a day. So we're definitely looking for comfort. But what's funny is, there are high school kids who have their headphones on longer than we do, and we do it professionally because they're listening to their music all day, constantly, mm-hmm. nonstop. And you also want to make sure that you're getting a higher quality product so that you're not getting... I've gotten shocked before from headphones, not my own. They were here. They had an issue. They were reported.
Was it because of the carpet?
No.
It created electricity?
No, it was because they had a kink in the wire.
Oh.
Yeah, they were...
Malfunctioning.
I removed them from service. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. See what renowned producer David Miranda did there? We're talking audio.
We're talking music.
And music.
Mm-hmm.
And here he comes with all about that bass.
Yeah, especially if we're talking about headphones.
Not at all what it means, but that's okay.
No. Not at all.
I like it. I still like it. Larry Marcus joins me, Hannah Stanley, as I fill in today for Frank Fontana. Thank you, Frank, for having me. Our contest is continuing, so keep sending us the pictures of projects that you have redesigned, repurposed, upcycled, etc. And we have doors that were made into a table. We have that's a big one. Everybody takes pallets and they do things. They do walls with pallets. They use it for like that reclaimed wood look.
Yeah,
we also
headboards.
Saw a headboard made out of a pallet. Was creative.
You know what? Even jeans and ties to make
a... She made a quilt.
Yes.
It was gorgeous. So keep those going. 312-9... Or keep those coming in. 312-981-7200. We're going to cut that off probably, what do you say, about the news, right? Bottom
yes.
of the hour news.
So we can pick winners.
We can pick winners. And winners are going to win a limited edition Chicago Blackhawks t-shirt as they are still 16 games away from winning the Stanley Cup. Or the Hannah Stanley Cup, as I refer to it.
Crossing fingers.
Larry Marcus, Paragon Sight and Sound, located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But you were in town because this weekend we have the Expona, which is the Audio Expo North America show, which is happening at the...
Weston
O'Hare. And is open to the public.
It is.
Huge. And we were talking about headphones in the prior segment because I'm very nerdy with my headphones. And I have the classic, everybody in radio has these, the Sonys. Like they go over your ear, they're comfortable, they work all day. And they work for like a year. And then we all shop around for new headphones and then we always get the Sonys. But they're a workhorse. However, there is an entire area in this, if you guys are looking for headphones, if you are the kind of person who really values the quality of the sound and the experience that you're having, one, in music, this is the place you need to go. But also in your headphones, you can go here and then go to this entire exhibit within the show just on headphones.
Correct.
So cool.
Yeah, I think headphones are a very important segment. A hugely growing segment. But I also think it's a conduit to getting people into music systems, which is why there are, besides the headphone area, 400 companies displaying their goods and systems that will range from, you know, $1,000 to $500,000. It's a very wide variance.
Okay, as is the audience, because $1,000, that's an investment. People aren't going to just go drop that on a random Saturday. Typically, they're going to shop around. They're going to look for what they're trying to accomplish with their system. Man, if they're spending $250,000 to $500,000 on a room, on an experience, on their home being audio centric, that's really, man, they are super into audio.
Well, or let's not
or they've
use
got that
the
money.
Word audio. They're super into music.
Yeah.
It's a big part of their life. We, you know, people who do home theaters as well are super into movies and television. So I think, and the rooms can be combination rooms.
Right. I was going to say, because you can really.
At the end of the day, it's about loving music and good reproduction.
Okay.
That at least comes close to the live event. You can. Never, we aspire to be the live event. I think too many people in our industry forget that. that, but we aspire to get as close as possible so that you have that breathtaking experience of what you hear when you go to Symphony Hall or a rock concert.
There was one of the Million Dollar Contractor, one of the shows on HGTV, and I saw him do a sound room. And it was one chair in the middle. They brought in acoustics experts and figured out how to have it be where he could sit in his chair and have his moment and feel like he was either at the symphony or at a rock concert. And it was all by himself. He just wanted one chair to have his time. That was his man cave.
I think there's ways to set up the system for that one spot in the room, and there's ways to set it for the room as a whole. But ultimately, yes, there's one seat usually better than others. Hopefully, wow, though, it's something the whole family can enjoy if you're going to dedicate that space in the house.
Yeah, especially depending on the purpose and how many purposes those rooms have in your home. If it is a theater / audio, et cetera, there you need to really have an expert talk with you about how you can optimize that. And you, Larry, are one of them, but this expo would be the way to go.
Absolutely.
You mentioned that it is open to the public. It is Friday and Saturday. Here's the thing, people. I didn't know this. Concerts. There's going to be concerts at this event. So you can go to the Ear Gear Expo, which is where you're going to see me hiding out. I noticed that Sennheiser is going to be there. Man, they have a pair of headphones I really want to try. And then you have listening rooms, high resolution audio perception areas, an audio adventure scavenger hunt. I can't wait for this to happen. This starts on Friday at the Westin O'Hare. Tickets are still available. Okay, tickets are still available. And you can get them. Where can people get them? At expona.com, which is AXPONA.com. We have a quick question I want to get to before we let you go. Ted, you have a question about headphones.
I surely do. I'm sitting in my garage. And when I bought my high fidelity system, they called it a stack, and I'm almost back to it. Mia! And my bride is yelling. The dog just ran out the front window.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, take care of that.
But I'm looking. Yeah. Are Bose better than any other, or who's the best in headphones?
I think the best is a subjective of what you like. Bose is one of the brands available, but if you come to this show, I think you'll see as many as 30 or 40 additional brands. It's definitely a preference-based.
When people are planning this, we had contractors on last week who were saying that spring projects were like way behind the eight ball. So what are people, if people all of a sudden hear you and go, I've always wanted this, how long are these projects taking to put these systems? And if I come in and go, hey, I want to buy this great system.
I think that the great majority of these systems go into average rooms,
okay,
just rooms that are already existing.
So we can do this. It's just delivered.
We can have one at your house by next Tuesday. You know,
I am free next Tuesday. Let us. I'll get you my address.
So I think the goal is to make things sound good in real world environments. Only one in a great handful of the units are actual dedicated sound rooms. Theater is a little bit different.
Sure.
Theaters tend to set up in a basement if they are in a more darkened room. Obviously, panels, TVs are getting more popular there, so it can be a multi-use room. But usually there is no additional construction needed unless you want to take those extra steps.
Excellent. Larry Marcus from Paragon Sight and Sound. You can see him at the Expona Audio Expo North America, which happens Friday and Saturday.
And Sunday.
And Sunday also? All right. Oh, it is through the 23rd. See, I did not do good in math. No, I did. I actually was very good at math. All right. Friday, Saturday and Sunday at the Westin O'Hare. Tickets are still available. AXPONA.com for tickets and people.